I come from a church that I was in for 50 years, and we always did hymns. And it's been a new learning experience for me to be over here where it's different songs, different type of music. But I'm blessed because I'm not much of a music person, but I'm a word person. And the words to these songs here are awesome. And another thing I've always noticed, that God inhabits the praises of his people. And I noticed over the years, even in the hymns, a lot of songs we're singing about God, or we're singing about Jesus, or we're singing about things he's done. But there are some songs that I love, we are singing to Jesus. We had more than one. I love you, Lord, and I lift up my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy in my King, what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. I love those kind of songs. Yes. I'm in a quandary. I have something here I want to share, and I'm going to share. But at the same time, the Holy Spirit is telling me to share some of my testimony, and I don't want to.
Yes.
I'll be very brief. For any of you who know Allen Brothers in Westminster, Vermont, the Allen clan, I'm Donald Allen. I was the prodigal son of that entire Allen clan. I turned my back on God when I was about 15 years old and told everybody in that church one Sunday they could all go to hell. I didn't care a darn about them. For 10 years I lived in Satan's pig pen. And during that 10 years in that pig pen, I worked with and I fellowshipped with another person called Rick Blaisdell. So Rick and I go back a long ways. But I think of the scripture, he who has been forgiven much loves much. And that's what kind of motivates me. And one of the things I'm talking about this morning is love in a different way. Often as I pray, I find myself telling God what I want. But that's okay. Because God does tell us to ask, to seek, and to knock. I'm not going to read the numbers, but this is all scripture right here. Listen to what God says to us. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, that the Father may glorify the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. These are not just small, this is just a few small samples of scriptures where God tells us to ask him what we want. I kept thinking about that one time, and it kept bothering me, and I said, there's something's missing here. And I thought, how often do we think about what God wants? How often do we ask God, what do you want? And as I pondered that, God took me back to the very beginning. I don't know. And if you got any of that there, but I'm going to be reading some from Genesis 1, starting with verse 26. I may be skipping a little bit around, but I wanted to kind of consolidate it. Ask and you shall receive. I may not be reading it quite like that. I'm reading it from New King James. Then God said, let us make man in our image. image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over all the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over all the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and every living thing that moves on the earth. And then I jumped over to Genesis chapter 2, starting with verse 7. And the Lord God, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there put the man whom he had found, formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant in the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Then the Lord God took a man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded, he didn't ask, he commanded, saying, every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for on the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Jumping down to verse 18. And the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, wow. This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my sense. She shall be called, wow, man. Some of that might not be up there. Because she was taken out of man. Therefore, man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Now, why did God do all of this? Why did God make man in his image, according to his likeness, and then let us have dominion over all the earth? May I suggest that all the creatures on earth were created to function by programmed instinct, each according to their species, with no ability to think for themselves or to be creative. God wanted a being that could think, could create, could communicate, and fellowship with God. God is love, and he wanted a being he could love and be loved freely without being forced to do so. He desired that he could love us, but he wanted a creature like himself that would return that love, and we would fellowship and love with him. And he also wanted a being who could love and be loved freely without being forced to do so. It's called unconditional love, and I think about Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, where it says, God walked in the garden in the cool of the day with a desire to fellowship with Adam and Eve. Think about that. That's what God created us for. He has a desire to fellowship with us and us fellowship with him. Why did God place the tree of knowledge of good and evil in the garden and then say, you shall not eat of it, from the day of it you shall surely die? That's a valid question. And I got my pages in the wrong order. For one thing, God gave mankind freedom of choice, because forced love is not love at all. You only have to look at the religion of Islam to see a good example of what forced love is. God does not and will not use force to make us love, obey, or worship him. He will not do it. In the physical realm here on earth, there are natural laws that can hurt or kill us if we choose to ignore or disobey them. It's true that to a small degree we can overcome some of these natural laws if we apply the right principles. For example, gravity is a natural law that can't be broken. However, with the invention of the airplane, mankind has been able to temporarily overcome the gravity law. However, the law of gravity still exists, and if that airplane doesn't function properly, it's going to crash. Another example of gravity is very simple, very simple. If you climb up on a high-rise building 24 stories in the air and you jump off that building without a parachute, you're going to die. It's not complicated. And God did not kill you. Absolutely not. Of your own free will, you chose to disobey or ignore the law of gravity. Now, in the spiritual realm, there are spiritual laws that must also be followed. Again, mankind has the freedom of choice. I can choose to obey the spiritual laws, or I can choose to ignore and disobey them. The choice is ours. That's why I say God believes in freedom of choice. However, in both the physical and the spiritual realms, there are dire consequences if the laws are ignored or disobeyed. Mankind does not have a choice in the consequences for our bad or wrong decisions. We have freedom of choice. We can choose good, bad. We can choose disobey or obey. But we do not have a choice in the consequences of our actions and our choices. According to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, and according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 4, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Even God respects his own laws. You ever thought about that? The laws are placed, physical, spiritual laws, but God respects his own laws. And that explains why we have John 3:16. For God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son in the world to condemn the world, but through his Son the world might be saved. Jesus said, for this is my blood in the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remissions of sins. And you can find that in Mark 14 and Luke 22 and Matthew 26. And that leads me to another spiritual law. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. That's a spiritual law. it's not even my notes, but I firmly believe God does not want us or anyone to say, look, you have to be a Christian, because if you're not a Christian and your name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're going into the eternal fire. Now, the Bible does say that we'll end up in the lake of fire if our name's not written in the Book of Life. But God does not want us threatening people like that, saying, look, you got to love God or else. No, it don't work that way. God just wants us to love us for who he is, fellowship with him. However, in Galatians 6, 7, do not be deceived. God's not mocked. For whatever man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. I think people like myself and Rick, we know a little bit about that reaping of corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will the Spirit reap everlasting life. That's another simple spiritual law and principle. And I give you some simple examples. To have a friend, you must be a friend. To be loved, you must be love. Love isn't love until you give it away. What does God desire of us humans? That's the question in my point this morning. God's desire is for a being created in his own image who will love and be loved freely without being forced to do so. It's called unconditional love. I'm thinking again of Genesis 3:8, where God walked in the garden in the cool of the day with a desire to fellowship with Adam and Eve. Now, this is where it gets more interesting. I can't think of a better example of unconditional love in the secular realm than that of a dog. Anybody that's got a dog or ever had a dog, I grew up with dogs, I used to have dogs. I don't have a dog right now because I'm selfish and I don't want to have to take care of it because I want to travel. But I've observed them. Surely God created dogs as an example of unconditional love for us humans to see and experience in our earthly realm. Dogs want nothing more than to be near their masters at all times, showing love and being loved. I'm not even going to talk about cats. Do you know the difference between a dog and a cat? Dog says, you love me, you feed me, you pet me, you must be God. Cat says, you love me, you pet me, you feed me, I must be God. No offense to your cat lovers. It's true, dogs must be trained, but so do we. True, there's many breeds of dogs, but there's also many nationalities of humans. Dogs are emotional and sensitive. So are we. Dogs misbehave. So do we. Dogs can be trained to do all sorts of things, and they do it joyfully, without questioning why. Not so much with us humans. I have trouble with that. I have why in my vocabulary a lot when I'm talking with God, and I'm slowly over the years learning. I don't need to know why. Yes, I do, Lord. I could go on and on about many comparisons of the love relations between us humans and dogs and us humans and God, but time won't allow it. But my point is this. God wanted a being that could think, that could be creative, and that would communicate in fellowship with God. God is love, and he wanted a being who could love and be loved freely without being forced to do so. It's called unconditional love. God simply wants an unconditional love relationship between him and us. And he created dogs as an example. And I will close with this. Dog, God spelled backwards. I look and I see God. I look down and I see my dog. Simple spelling, G-O-D, same word backwards, D-O-G. They would stay with me all day. I'm the one who walks away. But both of them just wait for me and dance at my return with glee. Both love me no matter what. Divine God, canine mutt. I take it hard each time I fail, but God forgives. Dog wags his tail. God thought up and made the dog. Dog reflects a part of God. I've seen love from both sides now. It's everywhere. Amen and bow wow. I look up. I see God. I look down, I see my dog. And in my human frailty, I can't match their love for me. I got it here somewhere. It walked away on me. There it is. I got these numbered, but I... And in closing, I would like to share with you the preacher's blessing. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you, and may the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you, giving you his peace. May you live in the confidence that you are a child of God. Your past has been washed whiter than snow by the blood of the Son of God. God does not see sin that has been washed in the blood of his Son. Live with all confidence that your future is in the hands of God and no one can take you out of his hand. The Lord is good and there is none like him, not even the heavens above or in the earth below or the worlds beneath. From everlasting to everlasting, he is God. May you walk in absolute confidence that at the midnight hour, the best of all things can happen to you. God will bring you peace that surpasses understanding, abundance and beyond your knowing, and victory you can never seen before. Rejoice, be exceedingly glad. Nothing is impossible to those who believe. In Jesus' name, amen. May God bless the reading of his word and sharing